Bible to James chapter 3. Words of James from James, I guess. No. It's a lot better in the Bible, I'll tell you. I've really enjoyed studying the book of James. It's just such a practical book. It's like reading the book of Proverbs. You get to learn just wise sayings, wise things. And quite honestly, when I read the book of James, I find that the things that he's talking about is things I've been taught for quite a while. Things I've been taught since I was a kid from my own mom. You know, we're gonna learn about one that I'm sure every mom has taught their children or their kids, is that you think before you speak. Yeah, right, parents? You've taught your kids that, right?
Right.
Right. I got two parents, maybe. No, I'm just kidding. We got three. There you go. More than two. So, you know, we've heard these things a thousand times, but each time you hear it, it makes you realize just how much more you need it, because you struggle with it. So, if you're there in James chapter 3, stand with me if you will. We'll begin reading in verse number 1. James chapter 3, verse number 1. The Bible says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body." I wish everybody was perfect, right? Well, if we're all perfect, then we wouldn't be people. So we're all flawed. But verse 3, "Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind." But verse number 8, "But the tongue can no man tame." Man, nobody can do it. "It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth the same at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh." I think those are very powerful words, because I think at some point in time, all of us have a problem controlling our speech. Controlling what we say, to who we say it, and how we say what we say to who we say it. It's a problem that every one of us struggle with, and it's something that needs to be dealt with in all of our lives. And so, you know, I thought about, I didn't see Brother Ricardo here tonight, but he was my go-to guy. I was gonna make a joke out of it and see how, like, the impact of words was going to have on people. But we're going to talk about the most dangerous member in the church, and I was going to point out Brother Ricardo, but no, I'm just kidding. I pray for him. That's my plug for Brother Ricardo. I love you, and hope you're doing well. We're going to talk about the most dangerous member in the church. That's the title of tonight's message. It's not Brother Ricardo, okay? If you didn't catch that on it, it's the tongue, our words. So let's go ahead and pray, and then you'll be seated, all right? Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your grace that you've given us in our lives. I pray that we will grow in your grace and in knowledge of you, God, and that we would aim to serve you with our lives. And God, whatever you've given us, I pray that we give it back to you, Lord, just to be multiplied. I pray that we would all want to be used by you, and I trust we do. I pray that you show us great things from your word today. Lord, help me guide my words in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. We sang "Hallelujah, Praise Ye the Lord" in junior church this morning, and we were yelling so much it messed up my voice. So, all right, if you heard that this morning, that's awesome. Maybe you guys can do it up here sometime. For some reason, I played with fire as a kid. My mom can testify to this. I did it quite a few times. There was one time that I burned the tree down in our front yard. I didn't burn it down completely. I lie when I say that, but I sure did, you know, turn it black when it should have been alive. But anyway, on this occasion, I was in my parents' bathroom, and which it was in their room. And I had a lighter, and I was playing with some fire, and yeah, Miss Gloucester's shaking her head. She already knows. Bad kid right there. Don't hang out with him. I was playing with a lighter and some toilet paper, and in that room, my mom had a bath mat kind of down there, and I was lighting toilet paper, and that stuff, you know, it just kind of broke off, and it fell onto the ground. I didn't know it had fallen onto the ground, onto the mat, and then all of a sudden, I smelled what smelled like burning plastic or something. I don't know. I was a kid just playing with fire, having fun, but yeah, mom didn't like that. Anyway, I come to find out that the mat on the ground is on fire. I did not intend for any of that to happen. So me and my infinite wisdom put it out really quick. Hey, I was a little kid. I was pretty smart. I took it and put it underneath my mom's bed. She'd never find it. Never find it. But I learned today, or that day, that you can't hide anything from your mom, right? Can't hide anything from your parents. And at that time, I didn't expect that that little time of playing with fire was going to turn into what it did. I didn't expect that having that one little time of fun was going to get out of control. And I think that sometimes with our words, we can get to that place to where we start saying things to people, and then all of a sudden we allow our flesh to get control, and then just kind of find ourselves getting into a place of argument, name calling, or whatever it may be. You just get out of control like a fire may. And I hope that connected, but that's kind of what words do. They get out of control, like a fire, like power out of control. The Christians that James wrote to were apparently having a serious problem with their tongue. They were having a very hard time controlling their tongues. He wanted to warn them in chapter 1 to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. He even told them that in chapter 1, verse 26, that if you don't bridle your tongue, then your religion is vain or empty. You're lying to yourself. You discredit who you are and the name of Christ when you speak like the world. It's empty. In chapter 2, verse 12, the Bible tells us we must speak and act as though we are already facing Christ in judgment. We'll see this another time, but in James 4, 1, he says this, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members?" James sure does speak a lot about words and how to use them. Well, tonight we're going to look at three different areas the tongue has power in. The tongue has power to direct, to destroy, and then to refresh. Number one, the tongue has power to direct. God holds all of us, especially teachers, as James warns, accountable for what we say. Because if you didn't know it, teachers have the ability to talk to other people in a formal setting like this and can be able to teach them certain things, hopefully good things from the Bible. But some people take that and abuse it and teach them false doctrine, teach them things that are wrong, that are not found in the Bible, things that only help themselves and their own cause. And so God holds all of us accountable. The word master means teacher. James is saying that a teacher has a great responsibility. And the reason for that is the grave danger of teaching the wrong thing, leading people to believe the wrong thing. Now, before I get up to preach to you all, I make sure to be thorough in spending time with God and study and prayer, because I want to please God by teaching what is found in His book. I want to teach the right thing. I want to be careful with my words. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 says, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment." And perhaps there were some Christians who were impressed with the authority and prestige of the office of a teacher and forgot about the tremendous responsibility and accountability that comes with it. It's not something to take lightly, not something to toy with. It should be taken seriously. I'm not sure what this great condemnation is that James is talking about, but I sure don't want to know what it is. You know what I'm saying? So might as well just be careful and teach the right thing, what God wants and not what I want. I don't want to find out what that greater condemnation is. So be careful with your words and make sure they bring glory to God. Make sure they do that. Teachers are not the only ones who are tempted to sin, if you didn't know, right? Everybody's tempted to sin. We got that? Okay. Everybody is tempted to sin. Even Christians must admit that in many things we offend all. He says that in verse 2. In many things we, meaning everyone, offend all. Everybody has the ability to offend all. Not just teachers, not just pastor, or myself or Brother Caleb, but everybody. If you can control your tongue, then you can control your entire being. We know that we personally cannot control our tongues. It says that in the Bible. I believe it was chapter 8. But the tongue can no man tame. Did you hear that? But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. All right. The person who can honestly claim that they have never said anything wrong or out of place, James says, can consider himself perfect. But we know that the Bible in 1 John says otherwise. That if you say you don't have sin, you're a liar. The word is not found in you. If you can control your tongue, then you can control your entire being. So go ahead, look at the illustration of the horse in verse 3. In verse 3, the Bible says, "Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us. We turn about their whole body." I looked it up because I know nothing about horses, believe it or not. A bit is 5 or 6 inches. 5 or 6 inches. Don't call me out on this if you know anything about horses. Just tell me afterwards. Who cares? A bit is 5 or 6 inches. And depending on the breed of the horse, on average, an adult male horse weighs about 1,500 pounds. 1,500 pounds. Okay, that's heavy. That's a pretty heavy horse. But anyway, in short distances, a horse can pull up to 6 times its body weight. 6 times. That's 9,000 pounds. We're doing basic math, all right? 9,000 pounds. That's 4.5 tons. It's a lot of weight. Horses have incredible strength. But to harness that strength, they need to be controlled. They need to be controlled. If you're going to use that tremendous strength that horses have, you have to put a bit in their mouth. Horses have great potential. The only time I have an experience with a horse, I went to go get on the horse and it bit my thigh. And I never wanted to get near a horse again. So I don't care to know how much power a horse has. I'll let somebody else figure that out. We have cars now and things that'll pull things. But this isn't the 1920s, whatever. So, sorry for you horse lovers out there. I apologize. Now look at the illustration of the ship in verse number 4. The Bible says, "Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth." The largest cruise ship in the world is the Royal Caribbean Symphony of the Seas. And it's 228,081 gross tons. It is 1,188 feet long and has a maximum capacity of 6,680 guests with a maximum of 2,200 crew. That ginormous ship is controlled by a rudder that pales in comparison to the size of the ship. It's crazy. That big of a ship. 1,188 feet long. You know, James isn't just getting at how horses and ships are controlled. That's not what he's telling us. He's not just throwing information at us to tell us, hey, a horse is controlled by a bit and a boat is controlled by a rudder. He's wanting to get past that. And he's illustrating how these things are directed. How they're moved from one direction to another. The tongue is a small member in the body, and yet it has the power to accomplish great things. When the tongue is not restrained, the rest of the body is likely to be uncontrolled and undisciplined too. Because your words are an indicator of your heart.
That's right.
Your words are an indicator of your heart.
Right.
Okay? Both the bit and the rudder must overcome contrary forces. The jockey or whoever's riding the horse has to overcome the strength of the horse. I don't want to get on a horse ever again. But the pilot or captain of the ship has to overcome the fierce winds, as it talks about in verse 4, and the different things that go on in there. They have to overcome the nature that those two things are in. The bit must overcome the wild nature of the horse, and the rudder must fight against the winds and the currents that would drive the ship off course. the tongue also must overcome contrary forces. So what are you talking about, Brother James? I'm talking about this, that you have a contrary force inside of you. All right? You were born with it. It's called your sin nature. All right? And so your natural inkling or the natural way you want to respond to people with your words is maybe not nice when they speak not nice words to you. That's your natural response. But because you're saved, you're not supposed to answer that way to people. You're supposed to answer a different way. And you can have help with that, and we're going to get to that in a minute. So the tongue must also overcome contrary forces. We have an old nature that wants to control us in the direction it wants us to go. Sin on the inside and pressures on the outside are seeking to get control of the tongue. The bit in the rudder must be under the control of a strong hand. Must be control under the control of a strong hand. The bit and the rudder have the power to direct, which means they affect the lives of others.
Right.
They affect the lives of others. So your tongue has tremendous potential, just like a horse and a ship. Okay? All you must have to do is be wise with your words. Your tongue has the power to direct, but not only that, point number two is the tongue has power to destroy. All right? Tongue has power to direct at first. Now we're going to look at the power the tongue has to destroy, to hurt, to cause destruction, pain. Such a small member can cause great damage. A raging out of control fire is a natural way to illustrate disastrous consequences. That's what James does in here. He says, for instance, we speak of diseases, all right, like COVID, and how they spread like wildfire. They're rampant. They're out of control. They go like wildfire. They're growing like wildfire. Your tongue can get into more than you can handle. A small forest fire can be caused by a small cigarette butt being thrown out of somebody's window. It's as easy as that. Something so small, something so insignificant can cause great damage, great pain, great hurt, great sorrow. One insult, one lie, one comeback can cause damage that can't be undone. Not saying it can't be fixed, because there is forgiveness, but what's said is said. You know what I'm saying? My mom always said that words are like toothpaste in a toothpaste, or, you know, the container. Once you get it out, you can't put it back in. It's just not happening. Your words, once you say them, they're out there. All right? Don't underestimate the destructive power of your tongue. It's as dangerous as any fire. It has a vast potential for evil. I remember the saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. In some cases, wounds caused by sticks and stones heal faster than some words that people say, right? Because sometimes words stick. That's why you got to be very careful with the words you say, and even be careful with the words you don't say. Like, I'm sorry. Thank you. I apologize for that. Those are important words that people forget to say nowadays, and even back then. But anyway, all sorts of animals have been tamed, but the tongue has yet to be tamed by man. All right, I insert that by man for a reason. In old school circuses, the carnies tamed lions, tigers, elephants, and monkeys. Years ago at SeaWorld, there was a killer whale named Shamu that was tamed. They had another killer whale named after Shamu named Tilly. That whale weighed 6 tons, which is 12,000 pounds. And you're saying, wow, that's a third of your weight, Brother James? No, I'm just kidding. How dare you? You're not supposed to laugh at that. Brother Marcus is laughing his head off. How dare you? Man has gone to great lengths to tame wild animals. All the while, they're unable to kill their deadly tongues. Unable to tame their deadly tongues, I should say. Think about this, though. When you tame an animal, you get a worker instead of a destroyer. When you tame an animal, you get a worker, somebody that can bring you profit, bring you help, and be of benefit to you, rather than a destroyer, somebody that will break down, cause ruin. When you control a fire, you can enjoy a nice bonfire and have delectable s'mores. Yeah, fire under control is a good thing. If you have a fireplace, you get to enjoy a nice, warm room. The tongue can be tamed by no man, But guess what? It can be tamed by God.
Amen.
And you may say, I have a problem with my tongue, and it's just a problem that runs in my family, and I was born with it, and all this stuff. And you can say all those things like Irish people, they say, I just can't help but drink, and all those. But it's not a DNA problem. It's a sin problem. That's what it is. You can get over it. God can help you. God can give you the strength. Man's inability to control his tongue is a result of the fall of man's corrupt nature, which means man has a corrupt heart. A corrupt heart means corrupt speech. Remember what James or Matthew says in Matthew 12, 34 through 35. O generation of vipers, who's he talking to? The Pharisees. Who's he talking to? The Pharisees. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? It's not your nature. You really don't have that ability. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man, the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. So what he's talking to is not about just what's coming out, but he's talking about the origin, about where it came from, about the source. So if you're saying, if you have a constant habit of saying the wrong things, saying bad things, and saying insults, and being rude, and unkind, and just mean to people, and if it's a constant thing that you do, there may be a problem of the heart. I'm not saying that you're not saved, but that there is a significant problem of the heart that needs to be addressed. All right? Likewise, a person who speaks good things, person who edifies and encourages and wants to love each other and love the church and do all those things and share the gospel, that's a person who is walking with God. That's a person who has the Holy Spirit and they're walking with the Spirit and they're in fellowship with God. Out of the good treasure of the heart, the mouth speaketh. All right? From the source is what you speak about, or from your heart is what your words talk about. James shows us that that man is powerless to control his tongue. It is an unruly and deadly member. The tongue can cause mass destruction. It can destroy. All right? It can destroy. It has the power to direct, to destroy. And this third one, your tongue has the power to refresh. Your tongue has the power to refresh. Did you know that you can be a blessing to people? Did you know that you can encourage people? Did you know that your words can have a great help and benefit to people who are just maybe having a rough time in life? Who maybe just went through something? Did you know that a simple, I'm praying for you, can speak volumes to people? Or simply seeking them out after church can speak volumes to them? Like, man, nobody comes over here and talks to me after church. I'm just used to sitting here by myself, just waiting for somebody. But then somebody comes up and encourages me. Man, that's a blessing. You have that ability, that opportunity to be a blessing to someone. Your tongue can refresh people. The words you speak can be a blessing. It should be taken to heart. Your words are capable to praise the Lord and are capable, what James says, cursing man. When a person can sing the hymns like an angel on Sunday and then talk like a sailor during all the week, call that person what you will, but that Bible calls that person a hypocrite.
Right.
That person is a hypocrite. Peter is a great example of being two-faced with this speech. Out of his mouth came acknowledgement that Jesus was the Son of God. Matthew 16:16 says, and Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But we know the rest of the story of his life and what he did, but then how he was restored. Listen to this. Yet the same tongue would later curse and swear that he did not know Christ. Matthew 26:73-74, And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou art the one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. And then the third time, then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man.
Right.
And immediately the cock crew. How does that happen? How can you speak like this at one day and then that next time you just totally discredit what you were doing earlier? How does that happen? If you find it easy to speak praises to God and then quickly jump over to spewing lies or talk dirty or cussing, then there's a big problem with your heart. There's something that's got to be addressed. Some kind of deep inventory that says, God, what's going on What am I allowing myself to be influenced by? What am I not allowing myself to be influenced by? Because more often than not, you're probably not spending time with God like you should. And if you're not letting Him influence you, you're letting other things, other people influence you. That shouldn't be in your life. Or should be a significantly smaller part of your life. The greatest influence that you should have in your life is Jesus Christ, the Word of God. Simply meeting with God and talking with Him is what you need. Let Him influence you. Not YouTube, not video games, Xbox, not the Nintendo Switch, not all these other things that man has made, but instead of what God has given, let that influence you. So follow me for a minute. I'm not just saying to this, saying all this to say, ha, you know, you have a problem. Go, you know, take care of it. You're a dirty, wicked sinner. Have fun. I'm not saying that. I'm trying to give you hope here tonight because there is hope. That's not the purpose of what I have to say and that you have a problem of the heart. What I point out this because with every problem, there is a solution. All right? With every problem, there is a solution. And I'll point this out here. In 1 John 1:9, the Bible says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you have a problem with the heart, talk to God about it. It doesn't help talking to anybody else here on the earth other than talking to God about it. God, I have a problem with saying the wrong thing at the wrong time. I pray that You would help me get control of my tongue. Help me to think before I speak. In Psalm 32, verse 5, David said this, I acknowledge my sin unto Thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I was open. I was an open book, God. He said, I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and Thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Because I was open, God, You forgave it. You forgave it. And then, from ground zero, you can start to go forward and start to do what is right, and start to speak the right words that God wants you to speak. God can help you with your tongue. He can forgive you what you have said, and cleanse you from the shame and guilt as well. He wants to. Give Him the opportunity to. James uses an illustration from nature to help prove his point. The importance of a spring in the Palestine area was huge at that time, was huge, because many villages were started because of the discovery of a spring. You need water to live, right? Right? Some of you look a little, I don't know about that, Brother James. Where's the scientific proof? Okay, you need water to live, okay? Many villages were started because of the discovery of springs. They depended on its reliable production of drinkable water for the village's existence. All right? Your heart is your well, and whatever words come out of your mouth is a witness of what is in your heart. There you go. Your words have the power to refresh others. It's either a fresh spring or just a salty, bitter water spring. You don't want that. James is that whatever is in the heart will reveal itself in the fruit of your speech. Right. It will come to fruition. It will come to be known what is in your heart by what you do, your actions, the words. Our tongues are controlled either by the flesh, by the old fallen man, or by the indwelling of the Spirit of God. Whatever one you give place to is what is being controlling your mouth. It cannot be controlled by both at the same time. That's what he's getting to. It can't be controlled by at the same time. It is in the flesh. If the flesh is reigning, then out comes bitter water. If the Holy Spirit is on the throne, then out of our heart comes fresh water, a good spring. The real problem is a divided heart, and James speaks about that too. An unstable, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, in all his ways. And James is saying, including his speech.
Right.
Including his speech. He can't sit in the synagogue on Sunday, or for us, the church, and then go out and continue to speak what is good and right if he's got a divided heart. If he's unstable in all his ways, his speech will show it. If your tongue is inconsistent, then there is something radically wrong with your heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The issues of life. What a great verse highlighting the importance of being wise with our words. And I think the most beautiful way that anyone can choose to use their words is simply by sharing the gospel with another person. Your speech can be a blessing to people. It can refresh people. And what is more refreshing than the gospel of Christ? What's more beneficial to man than the Savior who died on the cross for them? That's what the world needs to hear more about. It doesn't need to hear more about, you know, oh man, the Lions are 0-3, which if you don't know that, that's a NFL team. I know you don't care about the Lions, but then instead of talking about the Lions, you can say, but I go to church on Sunday, so I don't watch TV. So I'm here to tell you about Jesus Christ, and you give him an invitation to church. I know, I work football in there somehow. Feel bad for me. My team stinks. But the most beautiful way anyone can choose to use their words is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the most refreshing message that anybody can hear. Because you know what? For however long that they have been alive, they've been living a life that was in sin, that was defiling, was tainted. Their life was lived by trying to fill a God-shaped void in their heart with other things, entertainment, love, achievement, whatever it is, whatever the gods that people make in their lives, money, advancement in their career, whatever it is. But there's a God-shaped void in everybody. And you know what? You have the ability to say, I have a message for you, and I want to share it with you. And you first start, and the way you get to do that is by having a right heart with God. Because if your heart's not right with God, you're going to feel kind of out of place sharing the gospel with somebody. It's not going to come normal. It's not going to be natural to you. If your heart's not right with God and you're not walking with God, sharing the gospel is not going to be a normal thing for you. Your heart needs to be right with God. Instead of using our words to spread lies, gossip, or anger, how about using our words to bring the message of the gospel to people? How about that? You may not be able to control your tongue, but God can help you with that. That's the main focus of this message, that he says, verse number 8, but the tongue can no man tame. The tongue can no man tame. But guess what? God can help you with that. God can give you the ability to overcome your vile speech or the things that you say. God can help you. You just have to rely on him. Luke 18:27 says, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. If you're going to live how God wants you to live, then you're honestly going to need God's help. There's no other way around it. There's no how-to godly living for dummies, all right? It's just called the Bible. I can give you one if you want one. I have a couple at my house. But if you're going to live how God wants you to live, then you're going to need God's help. Now, I totally understand that if you have a hard time controlling what comes out of your mouth, but don't use that as an excuse to say whatever you want. It can always be fixed. You just have to be willing. Rely on the Lord to help you with your words. Before you say something, ask yourself, is this pleasing to God? Is this pleasing to God? If someone were to follow you around and record your conversations, then play them back for all to hear, not just for you to hear, but for all to hear, what would your tongue reveal about your heart? If somebody recorded your conversations throughout the whole day, hey, let's say for the whole week, you know, you get a much broader data, you know, much more to sift through. What if somebody recorded all that to show to everybody in front of the church? What would your speech say about your tongue? What would be revealed on the screen about the words you chose to say? I already told you, but growing up, I was always told, think before you speak. Think before you speak. I didn't get that, but think before you speak. Those words are still true today. I have an acronym for the word think, T-H-I-N-K. Before you speak, ask yourself, is it true, helpful, inspiring, necessary, or kind? Think. Think before you say or do something. Think. Is it true? No one likes hearing lies. No one likes being lied to, especially a younger brother. I mean, I'm not a younger brother, but I saw some younger brother in the church got lied to today, and he was like, "What? This wasn't there? You're a liar to me." Matter of fact, somebody told me yesterday that there was a leftover donut, and they lied to me. No, I'm just kidding. Brother Marcus ate it, but I'm just kidding. The best thing anyone can do with their words is simply to speak the truth. Right.
Right.
Speak the truth. In John chapter 8, the Bible says, the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. Is it helpful if I say, okay, so for example, if somebody's upset at me, and I can visually see that they're upset, and they may be a little upset, and they're not having a good time calming down. I'm not saying anybody in the church, but just for example, and then I choose to say, hey, just calm down. Do you think that's helpful speech? Do you think that's going to help them to calm down? No? Maybe you're not getting it. I don't know. Maybe somebody comes up to me, you took my parking spot! All right, because, you know, I guess that happens with people at the grocery store. And you say, hey, okay, I get it. This is the right way to handle it. I get it. Okay, if it's such a big deal, I'll go ahead and I'll pull out. And if you have it, you have it. And I'll go find a different one. Instead of saying, this is the wrong way to handle it, lady comes up to my window, you took my parking spot! Just like that, she says it. And I tell her, just calm down. What's your problem? Do you think that's going to be received well? I don't think that's going to be received well. She's probably going to get even more upset, and it's not helpful to say. So just pick and choose your words wisely. Is it inspiring? Your speech should be used to encourage others, not tear them down. Your speech is building blocks. Your words can help people. It can edify them. Belittling people and tearing them down is such a mean and rude thing to do. If someone tries something new and then they mess up, don't criticize and make fun of the person. Instead, encourage them to try again, maybe in a different way. Encourage people with your words. Edify. Inspire them. Help them to move forward, not back two steps. Is it necessary? Now, for this one, I just said some things are better left just not said. And I think general discernment is a very helpful ability in that category. Some things are better not said at all. Is it kind? This one's straightforward. Are the words that you are saying to your brother, your sister, your husband or your wife or whoever it may be, is this kind? I'm not just talking about the words that you say, but even the tone that you have, the way you say them, the facial expressions, because truly we communicate with more than just our words.
Right.
I know that James is getting to our words and what we say, but I think we can go a little further and talk about, you know, the way we say them, the tone, and the eye rolls after people say them. You know, kids with parents and things like that. I've heard parents say, don't roll your eyes at me, and then they slap them. No, I'm just kidding. They don't do that. But is it kind? Is what you're saying helpful? Is what you're saying inspiring? Is what you're saying true? Think before you say or do something. The tongue can be a great tool or a terrible weapon.
Right.
Many times we just need to slow down and think before we speak. The tongue has the power to direct, to destroy, and to refresh. I encourage you all to take an inventory of your heart today, tonight, and just to ask yourself, is what comes out of my mouth encouraging to others? Is it helpful? Is it kind, inspiring? And what is what I'm saying pleasing to God? How about that? Is what I'm saying throughout the week pleasing to God? If not, I encourage you just to think about that and ask God to help you with that. The Holy Spirit can help you in ways that you never know. You just got to ask. With every head bowed and every eye closed,